So today I want to focus on the joys of Christmas, the real joy, the joy that we find when we make the Saviour the focus of the season. Born in a stable, cradled in a manger, he came forth from heaven to live on earth as mortal man and to establish the kingdom of God. His glorious gospel reshaped the thinking of the world. He lived for us and he died for us. What can we in return give to him? I love the words penned by an English poet. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? I can give him my heart. Our celebration of Christmas should reflect the love and selflessness taught by the Saviour. Giving, not getting, bringing to full bloom the Christmas spirit. We reach out in love to help those less fortunate. Our hearts are softened, enemies are forgiven, friends remembered, and God obeyed. The spirit of Christmas brings forth the picture window of the soul, and we look out upon the world's busy life and become more interested in people than in things. To catch the real meaning of the spirit of Christmas, we need only drop the last syllable, and it becomes the spirit of Christ. I don't know if you've ever put yourself in that picture. Take a moment. What would you be? What would your feelings be if you happened to be in that stable that day? You actually got to meet baby Jesus. How would you feel? When I was writing this week, the one thing that came to mind was joy, overwhelm of joy. Jesus, the light of the world, as we celebrate your birth, may we begin to see the world in the light of understanding you give us. As you chose the lowly, the outcast, and the poor to receive the greatest news the world had ever known, so may we worship you in the meekness of heart. May we also remember our brothers and sisters less fortunate than ourselves in this season of giving. Amen.
Well, good morning, friends. It's good to join together, isn't it, on this Christmas morning and to be able to share together. If you still want to give the offering, you can do that later or online. You're able to access that as well, so feel free to be able to do that. I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke this morning, entitled The Birth of Jesus. It's probably a good thing to talk about on Christmas, yeah? Yeah, it might be wise to do that. We might leave the crucifixion to Easter, but this morning we're going to read from the birth of Jesus, just as a reminder. So open up our hearts to the words that I'm going to speak this morning. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Aquinas was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral lands to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth to Galilee, and he took with him Mary. That's a good idea to take Mary along, wouldn't it? To whom he was engaged, don't leave her behind, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angels reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news, and that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognise him by the sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined with a vast host of others and the armies of heaven praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. Excuse me. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to the flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told them. It's a good word, isn't it, this morning, to be reminded of what happened all those years ago. We haven't got a lot of kids with us today. I'm a big kid at heart, so I'm okay with that. But do any of the kids or any of the grown-ups want to share what they received for Christmas? I've got one shaking their head, and the other one's very quiet as well. Well, you know what I got for Christmas? I got a shirt. Hey, I say every year, the rule in our house is what you get for Christmas, you wear for Christmas, right? I got socks, hey? Ugly socks. And I also, I did, but I'm not showing, all right? Just saying. Nathaniel, did you want to come up and? No, you're not game. They're all keen. Come on, mate. No, he's not going to do it, all right. He's got all his military stuff now. He's got a backpack, a drink bottle. We can't find him in the house because he just blends into the plants and sits there with his bright orange Nerf gun ready to take out the next person who walks past with his silencer. Sarah, did you want to share anything this year? No, nice and quiet. That's okay. Any of the grown-ups want to share what they got for Christmas? You haven't got anything yet? Ah. Still waiting in anticipation. You got double Christmas.
Yes.
We've food.
Food.
So you can put the chili sauce on the chocolate. Yeah. Hey, combination. There's plenty of good things that happen. Nathan, you're going to come and help me for this part at least. Now, you've all walked in this morning and we've all got the traditional Christmas bonbon on your seat. Can you hold that for a second for me? So you might want to hold on to it, you can hang on to it. But what sort of things remind you of Christmas? One of them for me is a bonbon. What reminds you about Christmas?
Pudding.
Fruit soaking. Pine trees. Plastic pine trees in houses. Yep, pine trees. No, not yet. No one can help themselves, can they? Go for it. You might as well. Go for it. Open them up. Can I have that? Now, you've got to have a look at your joke because we will do some joke sharing because that's what we do around our table on Christmas Day. You got to share the joke. Who's going to be first to share the joke? Sam's got to share the joke. Anyone else want to jump up and share their joke on Christmas? That is perfect.
What?
Why do you never see Santa in a hospital? Because he has his private elf care.
That is a classic. Oh, they just go on and on and on. I learned this week, and you're probably thinking, why are we using crackers in church when they're around the table for later on? You're probably wondering that, yeah? But we're going to talk a little bit about the Christmas story in relation to the Christmas cracker this morning. Now, one thing I learned this week was that the Christmas cracker was invented by a London-based confectioner and baker, Tom Smith, in about the 1800s. Tom set up a shop in Goswell Street in Clerkenwell. I'm probably saying all this wrong, but that's okay. Smith initially produced wedding cakes and sweets, but on a trip to Paris, discovered the French bonbon, a sugared almond wrapped in a twisted tissue paper. Bonbons proved to be a hit at Christmas time and encouraged year-round sales, and Smith added a lovely love motto inside the wrapper. Now, we've moved on a little bit from there and become very, very popular and changed it just quite a bit from the humble beginnings. And I'm sure you'll have them today, but I wonder, as we look at the crackers today, before you go home and have the cracker with your meal, not as a side dish, but just have a, anyway, we'll leave that, that we can consider the cracker is as being able to, he's living with the good news of Jesus. He's living with the good news of Jesus. Now, the cracker is a mystery, really. We all see them. We all roughly know what's inside them. But even there's jokes today that I've heard that I've never heard before. You know, there's a lot of repeats. Sorry? That's a good thing. Yes, you wouldn't want plenty of repeats, would you? By no means. But like Christmas, this comes as a surprise. And the things that we find inside there is the crack. Now, we watched an Australian movie just a while ago about some people in the bush were celebrating Christmas. And the mother used to make her own Christmas crackers at Christmas time. But instead of putting one of those little cracker things inside it, she put 10. Anyway, her future son-in-law that come from another country enjoyed the crack so much that he ended up with a neck brace. But that's a whole other story. That's going to be a memorable Christmas. It's not Christmas unless you visit hospital, yeah? Yeah, it's not Christmas. Your goal? Make your own bonbon. We'll have the fire extinguisher ready. So one of the things that we find is very much a surprise of what we can find. Surprise at Christmas time inside the cracker. And The very first Christmas was quite a surprise as well, because you had Adam and Eve who travelled to Bethlehem, right? No, someone's listening. Thank you. Mary and Joseph travelled to Bethlehem with a big surprise, didn't they? First of all, before they even, down earlier a while ago, is Mary found out she was pregnant, and all of a sudden they had to navigate all that. Then they chuffed off for this census that we've heard about. To give birth, to become parents to the Son of God. To become parents to the Son of God. Not by their doing, but by God's Spirit. Hey? They got to share in that. They were to start living with the good news of Jesus. They started living with the good news of Jesus before Jesus was even born. So we're told in Scripture. So the things that we find in the cracker, firstly, is that loud crack. And it brings joy, because straight away this morning, before church hardly even started, someone had to open it up. We couldn't help ourselves, couldn't we? Yes, Matt, well done. You get first prize for that. But even when I was going to talk through it with Nathaniel, they started going off in the room. And I think that's great. We can't help ourselves. It's just so much fun. They bring joy, don't they? Isn't it just fun at Christmas time to sit down to the meal and pop it open and lose the little tiny plastic frog in amongst the gravy on your plate with the food? That makes it really, really, really fun. And it can be quite a frightening experience to some degree. And that somewhat reminds you to the shepherds in the field, right? We often sing these Christmas carols, read these stories, but you imagine this ragtag bunch of guys out in the bush taking care of these sheep, and all of a sudden an angel turns up in the middle of the night. Don't know about you, but I'd be thinking, A, what did I eat or drink for dinner? Or B, am I not feeling well? Or 3, is it time to go home? Is it time to call in? You think about it. Like, you think about it. It would have been such a shock initially to them to get this big surprise. It says that night that they were the shepherds staying in the fields nearby guarding the flocks of sheep. And suddenly, so not just, hey, can I come out now? I'm an angel. I'm going to surprise. No, suddenly the angel turned up. They were terrified, it says. They were terrified. I would be. Don't know about you. If I ever camp, I don't mind camping, but you suddenly hear all these noises in the bush. The bush is quite noisy at night, isn't it? But they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. And what did the shepherds say? Oh, yeah, okay, don't be afraid. Sure, no worries. We'll do that. We won't do that. They were terrified. They were reassured. But then on top of that, a choir of angels come. So not just one, but then a whole lot came praising God. So much so that they went from being afraid and went, hey, we better go check that out. We better go see what this thing that's just happened to us, we should go see what that's about. We should go see what that is. So they went off, and as the scripture said this morning, they seen baby Jesus lying there as the angels had said. Then suddenly, in going off, they were living with the good news of Jesus. They themselves were living with the good news of Jesus. They heard the angels. They saw the child. They were living with the good news of Jesus. Suddenly, the second thing that's in the cracker is the joke. And we've talked about the joke. I'm not going to go back there because there'll be plenty more at lunchtime around our table. I love a good joke. Hey, there's nothing beats a good joke. It brings a lot of joy, doesn't it? And the humble cracker delivers every year without fail. Every year without fail. That gives me joy to hear a good dad joke. But if you look at the Christmas story, you know, these jokes are written down and put in these crackers carefully, but the prophets in the Old Testament, so, you know, hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus turned up on the scene, prophets were writing things out. No, they weren't writing down dad jokes, right? They weren't placing them in a cracker, but they were talking about this person, the Messiah, the Saviour was to come, Jesus. The prophets were God's spokesmen. So God was communicating to them to say, hey, write this down and start talking about it. Because our people need to know, they need to be prepared for what's to come. To bring that hope and anticipation. Because I'm coming with a rescue plan. I've got a rescue plan in mind. They provided hope in living with the good news of Jesus. The prophets were hearing about the good news of Jesus to come. That then filtered down to the wise men that we hear about. They came seeking of the Messiah, and when they asked why, they said the prophets, when they asked, you know, why are you coming, like seeking after this star? What is it? And they said that we heard about it. It's been written down. And we went so much so, they believed in it so much, they followed this star around for about 3 years, we're told. Spent a long time wandering around watching a light in the sky, yeah? A long time. They eventually found Jesus and went on living with the good news of Jesus. They went on from seeing that to go on living. So much so, they had to escape from Herod and all that stuff. It was a whole heap of story. Thirdly, we got the hat. I can only see two, three. Oh, there's a few of you got your hat on today. I don't know why everyone hasn't got their hat on, because that should be mandatory when you use a cracker. It never fit me anyway, but that's okay. You've got to have the Christmas hat that goes with it. It's that... We need the hat that goes with it. And as part of the Christmas story, we hear about kings. And you've got King Herod in the story, who intercepted the wise men and plotted to kill Jesus. But the crown that comes in the Christmas cracker represents Jesus, who was going to be the King of all kings. Jesus was going to be the King of all kings. And he is that even today. The Bible says he's the King of Kings. We don't really understand what it's like to live under a rule of a king like they did 2,000 years ago, but the people were looking for a ruler to take over the Roman oppression that experienced. They weren't free to live like they wanted to, but they were looking for that king to come. That king came, probably not what they were looking for, but he did so much more in their life. So much more for them. So much more. Therefore, for us, that we can look at that and live with the good news of Jesus. The other thing that we find is a gift. Now, these are, okay, I work on a budget, so these aren't the top shelf crackers, as you know. So my gift or toy today is a picture of Santa Claus. I feel a little bit ripped off, but I guess $4 a box. Oh, you got a ring. Oh, wow. And you got a tape measure. You never know around the Christmas table where you'll need the tape measure, Lynn. I don't know what you'd do with that. But we always get the quirky little gift, don't we, that comes along our way. And in the Christmas story, it can remind us of the gifts that the wise men brought. Now, there's some very significant meaning in each of those individual gifts that the wise men brought, but they come bringing gifts. But the ultimate gift that comes to us that we reflect on today is Jesus, who came as the ultimate gift for me and for you, for humanity. He came for us. So while the wise men, while the gifts from the wise men were important and had the significant meaning, the ultimate gift was Jesus. And Jesus came as a surprise to us. He came to give us hope in his words that we find in Scripture. He comes to remind us that he is in charge and that he's the King of all, and that he came as the ultimate gift so that we could share it with others. Now, today when you sit down and if you have bonbons around your table, one of the things that we automatically do, and I've seen you do it here today, is with a bonbon, not many people, unless you're by yourself, do that by yourself, do you? What is the thing you do when you pick up a bonbon around the table? You reach for someone else, don't you? Beside you, in front of you, wherever. We get to share that experience together, that quirky experience that we do each Christmas. But Jesus shared with us the ultimate gift so that we can live with the good news of Jesus. While we can live with the good news of Jesus, we can in turn share it with others. Maybe something to think about today, and I just want to pray from Ephesians 3 this morning, just before we have our final song, and then head off to enjoy our Christmas crackers and whatever you have on the side of that as well. So let's pray. We pray today that God of great kindness and mercy, that he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we can be rooted and established in his love, that we may grasp how wide, how long, how deep the love of Christ actually is. And to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you'll be filled to the measure of all fullness within God. Help us to know the wonder of Christmas, Father, and your love for us. Renew our hearts and our minds this season, that we would know your light and life and your love in our lives. Help us to go today and be thankful with thankful hearts to love others and to serve others today, we pray. Amen and amen. And thanks for joining us this Christmas morning from our church to you each. We want to wish you a merry, very happy Christmas and best wishes for the year ahead. And if you still want to give to the offering, you're welcome to do that at the end. But I'll leave you this Christmas blessing as we go to do whatever it is, and particularly to carry the news of living with the goodness of Jesus. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever, we pray. Bless you each. Have a great Christmas.